thank you for tuning in to the Hunt, Fish, Eat podcast. Today, I had the great opportunity to sit down with a group that is doing a ton to help mentor kids in hunting. Pass It On Outdoor Mentors is a nonprofit group that links mentors up with youth that don't have the opportunity to hunt. They are making a huge impact on these kids and the mentors alike. Welcome to the Hunt, Fish, Eat podcast. I'm here with the Pass It On Outdoor Mentors crew, right? Is there just two of you still, or?
We've got three now.
Three, okay. Sounds good. So I'm sitting here with Brittany Waldman. And Brittany, what's your title?
Yeah, I'm the Director of Field Operations, so I lead our new shooting sports outreach program.
Okay, and Mike Christensen, what's your title?
I'm the President and CEO.
President and CEO. Okay, sounds good. Well, we're sitting here in Wichita. One of you guys is one of the conference rooms in the Big Brothers Big Sisters building. So thanks for having me. And you mentioned my hat earlier, Brittany.
Love it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's an old company out of Pennsylvania. And they just launched this company. And they sayings like this, you know, it says, for those that can't see, obviously, it says, I like to yell and break things. And has a picture of a clay target on it. So that was up my alley. You know, I had to do that. So it's a Clay Shooting Apparel USA. So.
Awesome.
No, I'm not sponsored by them or anything. I just think I know it says pull on it with an exclamation point, which I'm like, yeah, that's my, I say that quite a bit. So little shameless plug for them.
I love it.
Yeah, no worries. So let's get started. So what is Pass It On Outdoor Mentors?
Okay. Pass It On started in 2002. I was hired by Big Brothers Big Sisters to head up an outdoor mentoring program. Steve Williams was Secretary of Wildlife and Parks at the time, and they were just starting their youth seasons, their youth upland seasons back in 99. And they had reached out to Big Brothers and Big Sisters because they said the state agency doesn't know mentoring. But Steve had a big belief that mentoring was a key way in getting more kids outdoors. We did a couple of events. I had a neighbor that worked at Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and he knew that I was involved with Quail Unlimited at the time. And when the state had their first upland season, he said, Mike, could you find some guys to take these kids out? Well, it was the first – we had to go out a week before everybody else in the field, so we took our dogs out, and we thought that was a pretty cool thing. We really felt that – you know, I was about 50 years old at the time, and I'm thinking, you know, these kids are going to walk our tail off. We're not going to be able to keep up. And what we found out was the opposite. We walked two fields, and these kids were done, physically done.
Yeah.
But the thing that impressed all of us, they all wanted to go again. Mm-hmm. Every one of those kids said, when do we get to do this again?
Yeah.
So we did that for a couple of years, and then I was talking with the director of the agency at Big Brothers, and he said, well, how would you like to do this full time? And I said, well, it was after 9/11. I'd been in the IT business. I'd had enough of that. I said, you know, that'd be kind of interesting. He said, great. First thing you need to do is go raise your salary, and then we can get you started. And that's how we got started on this.
Gotcha. So this is really kind of grassroots movement mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And currently you're just based in Kansas, and have you expanded to Iowa, I heard?
We have a pilot program we are now working on in Isla with Brittany's shooting sports outreach program.
Okay.
And I'll let Brittany describe a little bit about what that's all about.
Yeah. So back in June of 2019, Mike approached me and asked if I wanted to lead this new program. And it was kind of pie in the sky. Didn't know if it would be successful, but we knew there's a ton of potential for it. And asked if I wanted to come along and see what we could do with it. So we did. And it's been a lot of fun since then. We've, during our first year, hosted about 220 kids out on different hunting activities. So 52 deer hunts, 13 pheasant hunts, 13 dove hunts, I think 10 waterfowl hunts, and a random quail hunt in there. And it was just a blast to see these kids continually sign up for these hunts. And new kids come in saying, where can I go? When can I go? What's coming up next? How do I get in the loop of things? And that was all just from networking with these high school clay target programs here in the state. So the Kansas State High School Clay Target League is what is here in Kansas, and they have, I would venture to say, probably over 100 teams this year, or maybe right at 100 teams across the state, which is awesome because mm-hmm. there's only 154 high schools in the state of Kansas, so that's pretty incredible. with probably over 2,000 kids shooting traps. So talk about like low-hanging fruit and what better population of people to reach out to, because they've already mastered the skill of gun safety, shooting properly, shooting techniques, and they have hunter ed. Most of them have to have hunter ed or some type of gun safety training class to join a league. So that's kind of where we got started. I did a lot of networking with those coaches and those teams and conservation groups, and networked with landowners to find some access, and had a really good first year. And that's why we ventured off into expanding into Iowa.
Gotcha. And so in general, to kind of summarize this, because I've talked to both of you guys quite a bit, Mike a little more, just know Mike a little longer. You know, essentially, the goal of Outdoor Mentors is to get kids that aren't hunting currently or wouldn't have an opportunity to hunt. You know, mom and dad don't hunt, or an uncle doesn't take them. And how do we get them in the field and be successful? And, you know, the R3 initiative, we talked about that a lot, retain, recruit, and reactivate. So one problem we saw early on, I guess about 10, 15 years ago, when this really started kind of being an idea of the conservation groups, is you would see like a local Pheasants Forever chapter, they'd have a youth hunt. And, you know, 15 kids would come, you know, 14 of them were chapter member kids. And, you know, one was a friend of a chapter member kid. Yeah. So and nothing wrong with that. But in that situation, you'd have kids that are, we're going to hunt anyway. You know, dad's running his dogs, you know. And it's cool that they're getting that opportunity, but it's, you're almost putting your resources into something where it's not paying off, right? And so one thing I like about what you guys are doing, or is cool, is that you really are reaching those kids that wouldn't do this normally. You know, this is an opportunity that they aren't taking a weekend from their normal hunting and coming over with you guys. You know, it's kids that may have a desire to, or like you said, they have the hard part down. They know how to handle a shotgun or a rifle and safely. They just don't have the opportunity, or how do I do it? So let's back up a little bit. I think, you know, Mike, you mentioned when you brought Brittany on, I remember, was it 2 or 3 years ago at the Kansas State Pheasants Forever Convention? We met, Dave Miller and I were there getting ready to go out to Turkey the next day. And I think John Francis introduced us, and you were kind of telling me about you're bringing Brittany on. So how long have you guys been doing the hunts, or how long have you been doing this? I know you've been a little bit longer.
The outdoor mentoring program has actually been going since 2002. When we first started, our focus was on recruiting mentors for kids that were being served by Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And typically those are here in Wichita inner city kids. And what we found is those kids have little or no opportunity to get to do this at all. So what we tried to do is recruit hunters from Pheasants Forever and Ducks Unlimited and the other conservation groups to get matched up through Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and then spend their time with that kid going hunting and fishing. And that's worked pretty good. It's kind of slowed down. I wish I had a reason for why. I don't. It's for some reason it's harder to recruit mentors now. But what we saw going forward was all these trap teams coming on, and I saw that there weren't any efforts to give these kids a chance to go hunting. And I didn't know how many of them hunted or what their demographics looked like, but I knew that there were a bunch of kids shooting trap. And if we got them doing that, it seemed like a pretty natural thing to try and get them to go into the field and go hunting. And so that's why we talked to Brittany and brought her on board last year, and she's been doing a bang up job at this. But the whole thing is, how do we get more people in the field?
100%. And, you know, we all work in the outdoor industry, you know, it's a huge focus. I mean, that's why they have the R3 initiative and the conferences that talk about these things, because, you know, if we as a gun community, you know, down from the guy that hunts 1 or 2 weekends a year up to, you know, people like us, if we do not invest in the next generation or get more people hunting, this will not be around. I mean, simply put, you know, I think it's down to 1 or 2% of the population currently hunts, maybe a little bit higher than that. But when you look on that, let's say it's 5%. That's still a lot of people that are not hunting. Now, currently we have a positive view of hunting generally in the country, but, you know, when legislation comes up, opportunities come up, land access comes up, you know, if only 5% of the population is hunting, that's a pretty low amount that's going to use that land. So I think priority goes down. So that's a benefit of what you guys are doing, is trying to get that next generation engaged.
For sure.
And have a quality experience. So,
raising that awareness is key. And it's fun to be able to pass that on to kids who have no idea that, you know, Weehaw exists in Kansas, or what's a special hunt, and anyone can apply for that, or better yet, it just sometimes you just have to ask, can you take me hunting? And encouraging them to learn how to do that is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's crucial.
You're absolutely right, Brittany. So let me back. I mean, we got to try to think here how I want to phrase this. So what resources do you mainly use in the state of Kansas to support your guys' effort? I know it's kind of a broad question.
You know, in Kansas, 95%, maybe even more, of the land is privately owned. Mm-hmm. So we work very closely with Wildlife and Parks. They have a special hunts program, and we just got notified the other day that some of the hunts didn't get applied for. They called us and said, hey, you want to fill it with these kids from the trap teams? Mm-hmm. So we have some neat opportunities like that. We're also, because we had success last year and the word started to get it out, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers called us and said, hey, we've got property. We'd like some kids to come hunt it. Evergy called us, and they normally do some deer hunts and some turkey hunts. But nobody knows to go to the Evergy website and sign up for a hunt. That's not where people go.
Well, they didn't before now, you know.
They didn't.
Hot tip there. So,
exactly.
Evergy came to us and said, hey, would you guys fill those hunts for us? So we're partnering with those kinds of folks to make that happen. We also have private landowners that are now seeing what we're doing and saying, hey, you'd be welcome to come hunt our property. Mm-hmm. So we make a lot of use of that. The other big resource that we make use of is all the volunteers. All the folks that belong to the pheasant, the ducks, and the quails, and the elk, and the turkey chapters. Whenever Brittany's putting together a pheasant hunt out in southwest Kansas, she calls a local Pheasants Forever chapter and says, hey, I've got these kids. We got this place to go. Can you find five or six guys to go out with them? Mm-hmm. And the goal with that is to make it very easy for the chapters to get engaged with this. You know, having been a chapter member for a number of years, I know that by the time you've held a banquet, you've gone through a bunch of your volunteer capital. And asking these guys to do multiple hunts during the year, that's a big ask. Mm-hmm. But the idea behind this program is all we want them to do is come out and spend that morning hunting with them. Mm-hmm. They don't have to organize it. They don't have to plan it. They don't have to do all the work to get it all put together. That's what Brittany and her crew are doing. And we're just making it easy for them to say, yeah, on Saturday, I'm going to go spend the morning tromping through some fields with these kids.
Yeah. And that's the point I want to bring up. I've talked in previous podcasts about like getting into hunting, that hard thing that we all know about. And it can kind of be simple to say, we'll just ask somebody. And I think part of the problem that some people has is if you don't hunt, you may not understand what you're asking sometimes. You know, if you go to your buddy that has four or five mounts on his wall that are awesome deer, and you say, hey, can I come hunt on your lease? I want to take a buck. What you're asking him is, hey, I know you pay thousands of dollars for this land, and then you put thousands of dollars into food plots and all this stuff. Can I just come and, you know, hang out and shoot a nice deer? And so that can kind of be tough, and you get a no, and you think, man, I'm doing want me to hunt. And one thing I like that you do is just like you talked about, Mike, where you make it easy. You say, hey, all I need you to do is show up with your dogs, or just, hey, show up, wear a vest, and help these kids walk a field. Mm-hmm. And we just need you for these 4 or 5 hours, and then you're good to go. And I think when people get in at that base level, it's easier for them to get invested. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier for them to get involved.
Yeah. And a lot of it, I would say the number one thing that people approach us with is, we can't find kids to go hunting. And I'm like, what? How is that possible? And I've got, you know, a database right now, probably 500 kids who are like ready to go. And, you know, yeah, I think it has to work, you know, schedule wise, distance wise. A lot of things have to line up for a kid to go. But when certain chapters figure out that we have this access to these kids, like the Johnson County Pheasants Forever chapter, they branched off and hosted a separate youth hunt at Ekman Preserve just for these trap kids. We had 25 kids there. It was awesome. So cool to see them all kind of come together and realize shooting a bird is a lot harder than shooting a clay target.
It is. Yeah.
But just had a ball, and it was super easy, I think, on all parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely what we're going
to
say. Something
that's the kind of thing we're wanting to make happen, though, is, you know, if we're going to recruit and retain more hunters, we've got to make it easy for these kids to get out and have multiple experiences. One of the key elements of our effort here is that we want to give the kids multiple opportunities to get out on multiple species. So ideally, we'd like to take a kid when he's a freshman and take him dove hunting, and deer hunting and pheasant hunting and deer and waterfowl hunting and turkey hunting. And then his sophomore year and his junior year and his senior year, do all that again. Mm-hmm. And so by the time he's a senior, this kid's been out 20, 25 times.
Yep. On multiple species, different places.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's one thing that I really like about what your guys' group does. Cause this idea of getting a kid that doesn't hunt to hunt, there's a lot of perspectives and ideas about how to do it. I think in general, what I've seen the best is multiple touches. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just take that kid on a squirrel hunt and let it go. Or one issue, I guess, to be a good word to put it, is you see these chapters take them to like Ekman's is a great place, great hunting preserve. They do a lot for conservation as well. But you take a kid that his parents don't hunt, you take him out there, you know, you pay for him to shoot birds over some really nice dogs. He has a great time. Well, the problem is he can't go the next weekend and go hunt. I mean, most of the time they don't have the money to pay for Ekman's or mom and dad don't have a dog. So one thing I like about what you guys do is like Mike said, you're taking them multiple species, multiple situations, so they can kind of gain some of that confidence, that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And you do it, you know, three or four years in a row, you know, so they get that time.
Yeah.
So and now we talked about one point of outdoor mentors is to get kids hunting that don't hunt, just basics and things. Now, you guys also work with big brothers and big sisters, right?
Right.
So take the hunting away, take the gun handling away. What would be a goal? What would be a positive impact of what you guys do? Like the end goal with these kids, what do you want to have them happen?
You know, ideally, just grow up to be good, solid citizens. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first got involved with this program back in 2002, I kind of thought, you know, if I'm going to be preaching that we need to recruit mentors and mentors need to get matched with kids, I better get matched with a kid.
Yep.
And I kind of drug my heels with it for a while because before I hired on, I really knew very little about big brothers and big sisters and the type of kids they work with or anything like that. But I had a chance to work with some of those kids that fall, and I got matched with a young boy in February. And he's now 30-something, mm-hmm. and he and I still get together.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, he got out of high school and he got a job and that lasted for a couple of years and he got laid off and, I helped him find another job. Now he's a sheet metal workers union guy and he's got a solid job. He now brings his stepdaughter out on hunts and they join us on these kind of opportunities. The second young man I was matched to, we go shooting together still and he's into his early 20s now. So that's one of the neat things about becoming a mentor is that you really make a relationship mm-hmm. with this kid that lasts more than just how long your mentorship does. Brittany's been matched with a young girl for how long now?
8 years this month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. I was a little baby when I got matched to her. So was she.
But if you spend, you know, if you go out a couple times a month with a youngster for 8 years, I was matched with Dana for 7 years. You get to know the kid and you form a bond.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And seeing that kind of thing happen with these mentors and working with those kids and seeing the positive impact it has on these kids going forward is really very rewarding. I don't think I've had a mentor yet tell me that they felt the kid got more out of it than they did. Yeah. Every mentor I talk to says they get more out of it than the kids do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
100%. That's for sure.
Yeah, so talk about that young lady that you've been working with, Brittany. And I'm going to preface this. I've seen a couple of the posts.
Yeah.
And one thing that I think is cool is a lot of times it's a gripping grin or an animal or you guys out hunting. And there's some talk about that, but you also talk about her and how she's improved, self-confidence.
Yeah.
So kind of talk about that.
Yeah, it's funny. So my little sister through Big Brothers, Big Sisters, just got her hunter ed card, I think a year and a half ago. So we're still getting her in the field.
Okay.
But there's a couple younger girls through our outdoor mentors program that aren't matched yet that I've kind of gone out with. And one being Kanaya and the other girl being Cantania. We're two girls that are just so much fun to, like, watch them kind of blossom, to be honest. Mm-hmm. They like to call it the glow up. Apparently, that's a teenage term. From when you are, like, a young teenager to an older teenager, apparently there's this transition. I don't know. But that's what they tell me. But it is really fun to watch them go through a hunter ed class and then watch them take their first pheasant and then watch them truly get more into it and trust in you, too, like in a blind where they can disclose to you, I'm having issues with this, or what do you think about that? Can I talk to you about this? And that's just cool. And I love that it's an open door. that they feel comfortable enough to reach out at any point and just say, I need help with this, or can I go hunting?
Now, my first little brother, I don't think in our 8 years he said 20 words. I mean,
so well, when you're deer hunting, I mean, you got to be quiet.
I mean,
girls like to talk.
Guys, not so much. Yeah. But we spent a ton of time together and had great experiences. And and that's really what makes a big difference for these kids. I mean, the mentoring program that Big Brothers and Big Sisters has is really tremendous. Just an adult spending that time every month with a kid can have a really tremendous impact on those kids. Mm-hmm. But I tell everybody, when you couple that with an outdoor mentoring mm-hmm. focus, so instead of just going and playing video games or having them over and baking cookies or something simple like that to spend the time with a kid, if you spend that time in a deer blind or in the turkey blind and you go out in the woods before the sun's up and they experience the woods coming to life, I mean, a lot of the kids that I've worked with have never seen a cow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Literally, never seen a cow.
Yeah.
And when you take them out and give them those kinds of experiences, mm-hmm. you see their self-confidence go through the roof. Yeah. You see them grow. And it's just really an amazing thing that mm-hmm. we as sportsmen can make happen for a ton of kids.
Mm-hmm. With kind of a low-level investment.
I mean, right. Really, you know, time.
Yeah, time.
Yeah.
And not even a lot of time. I mean, no. It's not like you have to spend 30 days a month with them, or you know, you spend one weekend or a couple weekends.
Yeah.
And I think it turns into something you want to do.
Right. You kind of long to do it. Yeah.
And I tell everybody it's the best kitchen pass you'll ever have. Now, I'd stay home and mow the yard today, dear, but I need to take little Johnny fishing today.
I mean, I'd love to do those chores, but, you know.
I pulled that one on my fiancé this week. What are you doing Thursday? I got to pick Autumn up.
Well, and, you know, it's seeing what you guys do, I've worked with a couple other groups and women's groups and stuff, and I always kind of make the joke that I'm jealous. You know, as a white guy that's in the hunting industry, it's like, man, you get to go on some cool places and shoot some cool stuff. But you know, in reality, I have tons of opportunities. So it's cool to see some of the kids get those opportunities. And I've, in my personal experience and what I've seen, you know, when you go to a landowner or a guy that hunts a lot and say, hey, man, I got this 15-year-old kid. He's never hunted before. He can shoot a rifle. He can shoot a rifle. He's safe. I'll be with him. Would you mind putting him on a deer? It's really hard for those guys to say no. I mean, they want to do it.
And it's always no until you ask. I mean, that's exactly like the golden rule, I think, in a nonprofit world, but also in the outdoor world, mm-hmm. is that you're not going to get on land. You're not going to find mentors. You're not going to network with kids available to hunt until you ask them. Yeah. The invitation's the most critical piece of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was talking with a friend last week about this. Kind of the idea was, how do you get into hunting? You know, if you're an adult or you've never hunted before, it's like you got to ask.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't going to read your mind usually and invite you out hunting. And same thing with kids, you know, or if you're mentoring a kid, you know, bring them along. Those are usually good door openers. You know, I've been out hunting and you see a bunch of snow geese piled into a field. It's like if you take the little 15-year-old kid with you up to the door and say, hey, you know, me and my son want to go out and hunt this field, they're like, oh, of course, go on out there. You know, it's a little easier to open that door.
Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit. You've had trouble finding mentors recently. What does the process look like? How do you find a qualified mentor?
I wish I had an answer to that one.
We'd solve all the world's problems.
Right. No, we just try and get the word out that there's a big need and hope that men and women step up and say, hey, yeah, I can help with that problem. I can help be a part of that solution. That's what we need to have happen. People just need to step up. Mm-hmm. And in the outdoor community, we have such a huge problem with license sales and number of hunters declining. And, you know, if every hunter took one person out, the problem would be solved.
Absolutely.
Just one. Okay, well, what if we tweak that just a little bit? And we said, if every hunter would become a mentor and mentor a kid, get signed up through an organization like Big Brothers and Big Sisters or whatever's in your community, mm-hmm. and every hunter mentored a young person like that and took them outdoors and taught them to hunt and fish, we'd have the problem solved, mm-hmm. and our community would be a lot better place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. think a big problem with that too is so many people, and I get this all the time, and it makes me sad more than anything, is people say they're not qualified or they don't feel qualified to mentor a kiddo, whether it's because maybe they had something in their past or in the outdoor world. Oh, I don't hunt deer very much, so I'm probably not a good mentor. I'm like, but you hunt pheasants every weekend. Like, you'd be an excellent mentor. And it's like this, you kind of almost have to now inspire the mentors or potential mentors and show them that they have it in them.
You got to build them up a little bit.
You do. Yeah you really do. Yeah, which is so funny because I feel like as sportsmen, like, I typically, they're pretty confident people because they're really proud of what they do. They believe in what they do. And so it's like, wow, why is that disconnect there? Like, you're passionate. You're full of knowledge and wisdom. You can absolutely translate that to a younger person.
Yeah, and I, like you said, Brittany, I think some people kind of build up in their mind, you know, they when they think about a mentor or something, they think a guide. You know, and they're going, man, I'm not as qualified as that person.
Right.
And it's like, man, you don't need to be. You know, a lot of the times, like you said, these events, if you have four or five guys and it's a dove hunt, right? All you got to be able to do is kind of sit there on a bucket next to them and say, okay, that's a dove, or don't shoot that somber, you know, or that's a real big dove. No, it's a bald eagle, no. But if you can do that, you know, and engage with those kids, like, that's what they want. That's what they need.
Right. They need dialogue. They just need camaraderie. Yeah. I think that's where we kind of get it twisted as mentors, is we think we have to, like, facilitate and plan these wildly successful hunts where you shoot the monster buck or you hit your limit of ducks. And, I think the successful part is saying, do you want to go hunting with me?
Yeah. To that note, last year we took some kids to Cheyenne Bottoms. And the group of kids that I was with, we hunted Pool 5. Wildlife and Parks made Pool 5. There are Cheyenne Bottoms available just to our program. And so they provided waders for the kids. We waded out. We probably waded a quarter to a half mile out into the marsh. And we sat down in the
reeds. Didn't lose any kids in the water?
No. No. Good. We made it all back with them.
It's positive. It's positive.
But
tied them to a
we didn't put one bird in the bag. They got a few shots, but the teal were buzzing low, and it was, there they go. Here they come. It was, there they go. And but the neat thing was, these kids had a great time. They didn't bag a bird, but they had a great time. Going out to Cheyenne Bottoms, seeing everything that, that Cheyenne Bottoms is, with everything that you can see there, and the experience of walking out into a marsh, a half mile out into a marsh.
It's pretty cool.
I mean, it was so outside of anything they'd ever even conceived of doing before, that it was just a tremendous experience, regardless of whether they harvest any birds or not.
And I think about the first time that I hunted Cheyenne Bottoms, I mean, a couple of buddies, and we did the same thing, waded out, put decoys up, and, you know, and I had gotten there late the night before, and so I hadn't seen it in the daylight. You get out there, wait out, put the decoys up, and you're standing in weeds, and you watch the sun come up, and then these just birds just start flying and flying and flying. And it's, you know, for, think about a 15 or 13-year-old kid that's never seen something like that before. I mean, it's awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
You know? It is.
Yeah. You know, all those kids went home and said, Mom, Dad, I got to get a pair of waders, and I got to get this, and we need to do this.
A new shotgun, two pots of ammo. Yeah.
But, well, you know, the whole thing about the outdoor, I mean, one of the most, I'd never hunted turkeys before I got involved with this program. And the first year we went out to Harveyville, we had a guide up there that offered us hunts. I mean, he's had us out every year. And taking a kid out that's never done this before, and you're sitting in a blind before the sun comes up, and just on a beautiful spring morning, the sun's coming up, the birds start chirping, the squirrels start chattering. Just that whole experience of being in the outdoors and watching the world come alive, it to me, it's one of my favorite things to do. But this gives these kids a chance to do that. Kids who will never have that opportunity otherwise. And how much are they missing when they don't get to do that? And for us as outdoorsmen and women, how negligent is it of us not to give those kids those experiences?
It's selfish. I mean, really, and I'm not trying to attack anybody, but when you rob a kid of that, or when all it takes is just take them out once or twice to let them have that experience. And, you know, and I think with mentoring in general, we can only talk about with big brothers, big sisters, or pass it on, you're using the experience of hunting to build that relationship. So when something does come up, or they have a problem, and maybe they don't want to talk to mom and dad because mom and dad aren't cool, they can come to that mentor, or they have the opportunity to talk to them, and you can be a positive influence in their life. So you know, if you think about that from that perspective, it's like you don't have to be the best hunter.
Right.
If you can talk and listen to them.
You're a mentor.
You're a mentor, yeah. So don't let them sit in poison ivy. Yeah. You know,
That's so true, though. So true.
Well, awesome. So you guys take some kids on some awesome hunts, some really cool experiences. What, let's say just roughly, what's your success rate? When a kid goes out there in the field, you know, deer hunting, is it 60%, 80%? Or I know that's a lot of contingent on a lot of factors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we've had some where we haven't gotten any. Mm-hmm. We've gone on deer hunts in January where nobody shot one.
Yeah.
And we've gone on deer hunts in January where everybody got one.
Yeah.
It's, as you mentioned, it's all kinds of factors involved.
Yeah.
But in general, I'd say we're 50%. You know, we do a pretty good job. And the reason for that is we get some pretty awesome opportunities. I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've hunted deer on Ted Turner's ranch down by Medicine Lodge. We're going deer hunting on the Koch family ranch over by Eureka. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the early hunts we did was at Glen Elder on the refuge. Mm-hmm. I was standing on the dam at Cocker City at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and we counted over 200 deer that we could see on the refuge. I mean, it was like hunting a feedlot almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we get some pretty unique opportunities. But
yeah.
At the same time, you know, Mother Nature has her own mind about things. And mm-hmm. we've had kids go out on dove hunts and they got one dove.
Yep.
We've had other kids go out and they got 80.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
it just all depends.
Yeah.
But I think, again, because of the unique opportunities we have, and we have some really awesome guys that are stepping up and helping mentor these hunts. So we've got some pretty good expertise out there.
Yeah. I like to think that successful is kids showed up for the hunt and the hunt happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In that book, we're like 100%.
There you go. That's a really good point to make. It's like, again, kind of go back to it's about building that relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and I think too, you know, I have a couple of friends, I'm not going to name them this time, but they are very connected, have a lot of opportunities, and their kids have now been raised up in that. And, you know, I know a kid, I think he's 13 or 14 right now, and he has 4 or 5 nice bucks under his belt. I mean, you know, bigger than stuff I have. And, you know, his little sister passed on a 6-pointer the other day, first year, you know, and I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, you know, just the caliber that they have access to. And
yeah.
Now those kids are able to hunt, and so they're real lucky. But I think part of the relationship building is getting them out there, you know, let them hang stands with you. You know, put up game cameras, say, look through the pictures, like, what are we seeing here? And if you can build that relationship, I think that furthers the opportunity of them hunt in the future or get out there and talk about the mentality of it.
Right.
Yeah. We just did a filmed hunt with Savage Arms, youth deer season. How many weeks ago was that? 2 weeks ago, it seems like forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was super excited because this was kind of like a Cadillac of a hunt where it was great blind placement, lots of deer, big deer if we wanted to, and had the opportunity to take one if we wanted to. And sure enough, we sat in that blind, 3 different sits, and saw no big bucks.
Yeah.
Hundreds of does. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what was so cool about that is I kind of put it in my mentees, you know, hands. I'm like, you can shoot a doe.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make you less of a person or, like, not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And knew that was cool for her to, like, process, like, hey, didn't shoot a doe. So we're in the blind this one last morning. And she goes, okay, so if I don't do it this morning, I'm shooting a doe. I said, that's great. Let's do it. And, of course, this buck popped up, and I was like, oh, thank God. My mentor heart was, like, crushing for her. I was like, I'm the worst. But it just, like, I think, again, that just, like, made me – it kind of humbled me a little bit. Like, hey, Britt, you went out of your way and did a lot of this work to make this hunt happen, and shooting a doe is super successful. Seeing what we saw would be successful.
Yeah.
But to have her recognize that, too, was really nice. Really, really good.
And that's part of the mentorship, you know, communicating that on to the next generation and getting them to understand that. And, you know, I think some of the – I'm really glad you see these hunting shows have exploded, you know, over the years. Podcasts, shows, all sort of stuff. But part of the bad part is they show the big animals, the big bucks, the, you know, limits of ducks, and they don't show the time you went out there and got skunked. Or, you know, last year I was in Stuttgart, Arkansas, had a drake and a hen mallard come in. It was real cloudy. They just pop out of the clouds. I shoot the drake, and it was – I don't know what I was doing, but I'm standing in, like, water behind my waist, and I think I was looking at some of my gun that was unloaded, and so when they came in, I had to throw a shell in the chamber. So I shoot the first one, I'm throwing another shell in the chamber, and I go to shoot the hen, and as I'm about to shoot the hen, the drake comes back up off the water. And I'm like, and they fly away. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Now, we didn't have a TV show there with me or a camera, thank God. But, you know, you don't see a lot of that. You don't hear those stories. Yeah. You know, you don't, and, you know, in Kansas, you get 5 doe tags and 1 buck tag, right?
Yep.
How many times have you seen a guy post a picture of a nice buck and say, tagged out for the year? You know, and it's like, what about the other 5 deer you can kill? Mm-hmm. You know, and not that you should stack up more than you can use, but there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Yeah. It's not about trophies. It's not about limits. Yep. It's about the experience.
For sure. They're missing a lot of time that they could be spending in the field with a kid.
Absolutely. Right? Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, go get your big buck. But then take those other 5 tags and take a kid with you.
Yes.
Yeah. And go get you a doe. And for God's sake, don't let a kid shoot a big 12-point buck the first time out.
Right? You'll ruin it. Yeah, that'll be his expectation.
That's for the rest of forever. Yeah. And you could even venture to take that a little farther. And Mike knows this more than I, but just with, like, the kids in our Big Brothers Big Sisters program, like, they shoot a deer. This now becomes a source of protein for their family for a long time. Absolutely. And that is probably something that brings more joy to my heart than seeing them with the picture of the deer, right? Yeah. Knowing that these kids in this family, these parents, these maybe grandparents are now going to be nourished a little bit better because they have protein.
You know, and I don't want to get too, like, you know, Mother Earthy and granola with it, but there's something different about you when you've harvested an animal. And, you know, and I mean that in the truest sense, you know, when you go out a wild pheasant, shoot it, clean it, cook it, from start to finish, it's like you get some ownership, it's a pride.
Yep.
You know, and I think in general, a lot of kids nowadays, they don't have much of that. They don't have much of that, like, do it yourself, or, hey, this was hard and I accomplished this goal. And I'm not trying to get into the, you know, the debate of the trophy generation, all that, but if you can build that confidence, it does so much more than just them killing a bird.
Yep.
And we're trying to do that with the program Brittany's working on. For example, we took the Wichita State trap team out on a dove hunt. And I think they harvested about 40-some birds. The young man I was hunting with, he got through his first box of shells, and he looked down and he said, I got 3. but what we did, as we were wrapping up, we took some of the birds back to the ranger station there, Cheney Park, and we cooked about a dozen doves, threw them on the grill, you know, wrapped them in bacon. Mm-hmm. And so the kids got to have that. They also got to clean all their doves. Mm-hmm. So it's all part of that whole thing. We want to give them that whole experience.
Yeah.
And the neat thing was working with these college kids, you know, we're out there at Cheney Park, public ground. Mm-hmm. They didn't realize they could come back the next morning and do it again. But boy, their eyes lit up when they said, oh, well, yeah, George, we're going to, tomorrow.
Maybe we'll skip class tomorrow.
not to encourage kids to not go to college. No, it's all good. But.
It's all virtual. You can do it in the field now.
Right. It's a blessing, right? that's really true. And I think, you know, a lot of times with these big Western tags, like, you know, big bull elk and a nice unit in Colorado or Wyoming, and you hear the story about a guy that's put in for 10 years to get those points, right? And he goes out there on this, you know, his lifetime elk hunt, you know, gonna be expensive and all sort of stuff, and it's like, or even over the counter. Let's say he's never set foot in that state or on that park, he could waste that opportunity. And it's kind of the same thing with this when you're looking at opportunities. You know, if you can take a kid out and get, let's say, 2 does a season, you know, I want to take a kid out and get him on 2 deer in Kansas. You still have more tags. Let's say 1 is a buck. You know, you get the either or tag. You get that kid out there, let him spend some time, get some success on a doe. Maybe, okay, we've got some meat in the freezer, we can look for a buck, but you get him to spend some time, or that kid to spend some time in the woods, learn more and more and more, so the next season, they're even better prepared. Or when they get that opportunity to go after a big trophy deer, they're prepared.
Great.
Yep. Yeah, they're ready to do that. So,
well, and every hunt is different. Every time you sit in the woods is different from the time before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see different things, you experience different things, and it's... The kids have to have that. It just goes back to that. I can't just take a kid one time and expect him to be a deer hunter. It's a lot more involved. We got to get him out those multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true. So we talked around this a little bit. You guys have had some personal experiences. We'll start with Brittany. If you could say, hey, you know, this one story encapsulates everything I love about Pastor on Outdoor Mentors, what would that be? I know, right?
Just one?
You can tell a couple if you'd like, you know.
You know, honestly, I'll bring up Kanaya, and she's going to hate me for this because I just always talk about her, and she's always like, you know, you're making me embarrassed. She's the one that said the glow-up comment. So, Kanaya, got involved with the program back in 2015 when I started volunteering with Mike's program with Pass It On. So I got to see her, I think 11 was when she entered the program.
Yep.
Little baby Kanaya. And so my first pheasant hunt with the program was at Glen Elder with Kanaya. So I got to watch her shoot her first bird, and she's carrying it around like a baby dog. Like, not quite understanding, like, she's still such a young girl, like a young kiddo, not quite understanding, like, the difference here and, like, what just happened.
Yeah.
But it was just the most precious thing ever, because I think you have to let, especially young females, you have to let them process the way they want to process. So that was really fun to see. And then I think we, I want to say we went out on another hunt in between this time frame, but then we actually got invited out with the Sisterhood of the Outdoors group to go on an antelope hunt in Wyoming, which was awesome. So we take Kanaya out there, and we spend 4 or 5 days there with three other girls all over the United States. And you just got to watch them, like, bond and click instantly and just share this really once-in-a-lifetime experience with each other, where, like, one girl shot an antelope, and then all of a sudden they all start dogpiling on each other. Like, it was just really, really cool to share that with her. And then, you know, fast forward to this last January, I had never shot a deer before, so network with a landowner of ours, and he goes, you know, come bring out a kiddo. And then later he goes, by the way, your mentors can hunt too. I was like, well, conveniently, I signed up for that hunt. And I wanted to take Kanaya because I knew she hadn't shot a Kansas deer yet. And it was just the antelope season, so it'd be a doe. And so we get in the blind, and we're just chatty. And it's just, at this point, she's 16. You know, this is like a 5-year window. I've known this young lady and I've really bonded with her and her family. And so she shoots her doe, and she's thrilled, and she's a great shot. So I had no worries that we wouldn't recover it or retrieve it. So, you know, we switched spots in the blind, and we only had like 10 minutes left of shooting lights. I was like, oh, I probably won't shoot one. That's fine. And then all of a sudden this little doe came out. Like, it was just God's will, and I was able to harvest. And she was like my hype girl in the back of the blind. Like, do you see it? Do you see it? She's getting close. Do you see it? Do you have her? Like, I could hear my mentoring coming out of her mouth, and I was like watery-eyed from it. I kind of am now, because it was just really, really cool to like see and, you know, have her now giving me fist bumps and hugging me. And it was just a super full circle, you know?
That's awesome. You know, and I've mentored a couple people. I've hunted a little bit, and I've been in the position of, you know, bow drawn back, waiting for that perfect shot. You know, please step in open. You know, my heart's like, I can hear it pounding, right? And I almost think that when I've been in the mentor position, when I'm trying to get someone to get on the animal, and it's that time where you're waiting, you know, that kind of, that this is game time. Like, you can't, don't move, turkey's coming in, or whatever. I almost feel more nervous in that position than I do with the gun in my hand or the bow in my hand.
Yep.
And I don't know why it is. Like, you want them to be successful so much. And I know exactly what you mean, but it's kind of the,
Our videographer for this last hunt we did was like, now don't, this is our second year doing it. And he was telling this young girl, Reagan, like, don't mind Brittany. She's going to freak out the whole time. And truly, I'm like shaking and excited. And like, it takes me 2 or 3 hours to wind down afterwards. And not really, like, I'm still just high up.
So, Mike, you've got to take some kids out. What is...
You know, I've had a ton of kids that I've had out. I've been doing this for 18 years.
Yeah.
I've seen some really neat stuff. But my favorite story, and just thinking about it, I'm choking up. But I call it my hamburger helper story.
Okay.
I don't know whether you've heard it or not.
I have not, actually. So.
Well, I had this... Kleenex.
I had this guy call me. He's a car salesman in Paola, up around Kansas City. And he'd been driving. He'd gone and picked up a car down in Atlanta, and he was driving home. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, he hears Scott's radio show, Scott Linden's radio show. And Scott had interviewed me, and I was talking about my program. And so he gives me a call this Monday morning, and I didn't answer. It went to voicemail. He says, Mike, I heard you on the radio program, and God has reached out to me and said I need to become a mentor. And I don't know about everybody else, but I haven't talked to a lot of people that have spoken to God like that.
Well, it's kind of the Blues Brothers. You know, he's on a mission from God.
He went to mission from God.
Right.
Anyway, I didn't call him back. And the next day I get another call, and I didn't answer that one either. And I got an email, and he said, Mike, I really need to talk to you. And the third day he calls me again, And for some reason, I picked up the phone. I didn't, must not have caught the caller ID. And so I'm talking to this guy, and he's sounding okay. But he said, you know, I heard that, and I just need to do this. I need to become an outdoor mentor. And the neat thing about getting them matched through Big Brothers, Big Sisters, they do all kinds of background checks. They go visit the home. They thoroughly vet all their mentors. And I said, well, okay, go to the office there in Paola. There was a Big Brothers office there at the time, and they'll get you matched up with a kid. Well, about a month later, he calls me up and he says, Mike, I got matched to George, and he's a little kid there in Paola. And I said, great. And he said, when's your next hunt? And I said, well, we have a hunt out in Garden City, which is six hours away.
At least, yeah.
A little bit of both.
And he said, we'll be there. It was a Saturday morning hunt for pheasant. And he takes George and they drive out to Garden City. And Bruce took George to every hunt I had. Every hunt I had from one end of Kansas to the other. I mean, he was in Glen Elder. He was in Garden City. He was down on Ted Turner's ranch. I mean, he was taking this kid out every chance he got. And I got an email from him, and he said, he shared an email that he got from the kid's mother. And the report cards had come out. And the principal said they didn't recognize George anymore. The kid had changed that much. I mean, it was really, really impressive how much this kid had changed.
Yeah.
And his grades were up. He was more outgoing at school. He was just a different kid.
Yeah.
Well, deer season rolls around, and Bruce was on a lease up there by Kansas City, and they had this big 9-point buck on camera. And archery season came, and nobody got him, and muzzleloader came, and nobody got him, and rifle season came, and Bruce asked the guys if he could take George out there and harvest a doe. And they said, sure. And if that big buck comes out, well, you know what happens.
Yeah.
Well, George and Bruce are in the blind, and George, of course, like all the kids that we take out, he's asleep like that as soon as you get in the blind. So they have this doe walking out, and Bruce nudges George and gets him ready to shoot. And he said, wait. And sure enough, here comes that big buck trailing that doe.
Yep.
And knocks him down. Nice trophy deer. Mm-hmm. Well, George's mom, like a lot of the kids in the Big Brothers program, didn't have the money to pay to get the deer processed. So Bruce took it home, and he and George are grinding the burger and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And George says, would this be good in Hamburger Helper? And Bruce said, well, yeah, it'd be great. And George says, oh, that's great. We've been eating Hamburger Helper for the last 6 months, and we haven't had anything to put in it.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah. So Bruce calls me that Monday morning, and he can't get the story out.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stories that people can have and the kind of impact that they can have on kids just by being a mentor.
That's what this is about.
Absolutely.
You know, that whole story, there was a nice 9-point buck in there, but you look at that story, it was, you know, he's improving at school. He's building a relationship with Bruce. You know, he's getting food, you know, for his family, and, you look at those factors, those simple things that a lot of us take for granted. You know, as a kid, I would complain about not being food in the house, quote unquote. And it was just because I had to cook the pasta, you know, or cook the meat. You know, there wasn't fruit snacks and, you know, Doritos in the cabinet. But, you know, a lot of us are very blessed, and it's hard for us to understand. Yeah. And, you know, you think about it. If you take a 7 or 8-year-old kid that he leaves his house, he doesn't eat breakfast, not because he didn't want to. There's nothing in the house.
Yeah.
He goes to school, he gets that lunch at school, and, you know, you guys in school lunches, it ain't much to it. And then he's going to go home, and there may not be dinner.
Right.
You know, and you think about how much just that one thing, having food, is going to affect his school, his attitude, you know, what he achieves in life, you know.
Yep.
And giving the kid the opportunity, the confidence to be able to harvest that himself, like, you know, that one experience, that one mentorship is a massive change for that person. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It really is.
So that's really good. Got me a little, in the fields there.
It's a little dusty in here.
Yeah, you know, when you started choking up, Mike, I was thinking, ah, it'd probably be a good story, but gosh, man, that I hit you on multiple levels.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. On both ends, right? Like for the mentor and for George. Yeah.
Well, I've been telling that story for a lot of years, and it still gets me every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think that's another example of it. It's not just about the kids. It's about the mentees, you know, or the mentors, sorry, that are going out there and doing this. You know, it changes us on both ends.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we were talking a little bit before Brittany got here, Mike, but you guys have some of your favorite events throughout the year. What are some of those? I know the Clays for Kids. Is that right?
We do Bust a Clay.
Bust a Clay, yeah. Sorry.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, we do our big fundraiser every year is Bust a Clay for Kids' Sake. We go to Flint Oak, and we go in the night before and have dinner and an auction and usually have a speaker. A couple years ago, we had an entertainer come in, and that kind of changed our focus on that, so we'll probably do that again.
Okay.
And then we shoot clays the next day, and you know, we generally raise $70,000-$80,000 for our program that helps us hire people like Brittany and her team that then go out and put on 89 hunts last year for kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Mike was saying you guys have 71 kids hunting this week.
Yeah, we've got 71 deer hunts.
That's incredible. In one weekend, right?
Yeah, the 10th and the 11th.
Man, the population of Kansas and deer is going to get hit here pretty soon because of Pass On.
Yeah, I spent all morning. You should see my call log. I called about every darn meat locker in certain pockets of Kansas where we're at. I'm like, hey, you got potential to receive 5 deer because they're going to be coming. Yeah, well, it's super exciting, though.
Well, I'm glad I processed my own. They won't get backlogged.
Yeah, you know, no kidding. Yeah, I apologize to every deer hunter out there this upcoming weekend. My bad.
They all pass it on and coordinate when you guys aren't doing something. That's when they hunt. So, and it'll work out because then they can help you.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So. No, we got 20 kids going duck hunting at Cheyenne Bottom this weekend, 71 next weekend at around the state. We're also doing a pheasant hunt this weekend. Mm-hmm. We've got another pheasant hunt on the 24th. And then we're lining things up in Iowa as we get rolling there, too.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So we're in Kansas, and this is predominantly in Kansas. So, Mike, when you and I talked a couple years ago, you know, one thing I like about you, Mike, is you dream huge. You know, you're always – I mean, he's always talking – you know, big picture stuff, which you have to be.
Yeah.
You have to have that drive. You know, if you don't have that big goal, you're not going to anywhere near it. So, you and I first talked, you had said, hey, we want to expand this outside of Kansas. I think I'd asked you, what's the next step? What's your goal? What's your end goal? So let's talk about you guys expand to Iowa now.
Right. We went to the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife meeting last January. And their R3 committee, I've been on the implementation work group for the councils to advance hunting and shooting sports, R3 group. And so I told Brittany, let's go out and tell these folks about what we did this fall. And we went out there, and Brittany did a great job with the presentation. And the folks from Iowa said, we'd like to talk to you about doing a pilot program in Iowa. And so that's what we're doing. We're going to try and reach 15 to 20 different teams across Iowa and do 30 different hunts is what we've set for our goal. And I think we'll probably exceed that goal by the time we're all done there. And we're already in talking, you know, what would it take to do this on a statewide basis in Iowa? Mm-hmm. You know, in Kansas, a year ago, we had 1,800 kids shooting trap. There's probably going to be close to 3,000 another year. Iowa's already got 4,000 kids shooting trap.
It's a lot of trap getting broken in Iowa.
And when the folks at Iowa surveyed the kids to find out how many of them were hunting, only 53% of the kids in Iowa on these trap teams are hunting right now. So we've got a tremendous opportunity there to do both recruitment of the new kids that don't hunt and work on retention for those kids that are say they do hunt. And when we did those surveys here in Kansas, they said 85% of the kids here in Kansas hunted, probably because most of the teams are on rural communities. We don't have any teams in any of the big school districts in Kansas yet. Mm-hmm. Hopefully coming, but we don't have them yet. so 85% of the kids hunt, but what we found is they don't hunt very much. Mm-hmm. And they don't hunt a variety of species. So when we looked at that data, you know, when we first started putting this together and talking about it, we thought, well, let's recruit all these kids. And then we looked at the data and said, they're already recruited.
Yeah.
So there's three R's. Yeah. And so what we're looking in what we're doing in Kansas is focusing on that retention thing, giving those kids those multiple opportunities to get out and hunt a variety of game. And we're also seeing some reactivation stuff. You know, we're seeing parents come out mm-hmm. and see little Johnny have fun pheasant hunting and say, you know, I haven't dusted my shotgun off in a few years, so I'll go out and hunt with Johnny too. But in Iowa, we're seeing it's going to be more of a 50-50 thing between recruitment and retention. We're going to recruit those kids that aren't hunting, and then we're also going to work on retention efforts for those kids that are.
That's incredible. And like I said, it's cool to see, not in the short times, you've known this for a long time, Mike, but I've seen how much it's grown in 2 or 3 years. Like I say, expanding to other states. And so, you know, if you're not in Kansas and you're listening to this, there are other opportunities out there in other states.
Right.
And, you know, not to detract from what you guys are doing, but you can also mentor kids in your own state without an organization.
Absolutely.
You know, your neighbor kid or, you know, a friend of your kids that doesn't hunt.
Or go to the local Big Brothers. They've got tons of kids that would love to do this.
That's a great point, Mike. That's a great point, too. So you guys have expanded to Iowa. What is your long-term goals? You know, so 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what do you want it to look like?
Well, the National Clay Target High School League is looking at 100,000 kids by 2025 shooting trap. I would love to see us have a mentoring program where we're giving these kids opportunities to hunt in all those states where that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And I don't know many states where it's not a possibility. So
right. They kind of fit hand in hand, right? And that's kind of like my favorite tagline for this program is bridging the gap between target shooting and hunting. So if there's a target shooting team, there should probably be a program butted up against it to take these kids hunting. Mm-hmm. You kind of just make them more well-rounded and really teach them how to give back two ways into the PR dollars and conservation both ways. So, I mean, I would piggyback off of Mike. I think that would be the dream. And I think continuing to serve kids at a higher scale here in Kansas and in every state we go into, I think we could easily populate. We hired a program coordinator on here in Kansas this year. And I mean, just with his help, we've done so much more. Mm-hmm. And so I just imagine we've got small armies of teams everywhere just organizing all of these hunts. It's going to change the world. It's going to change hunting and fishing. And we're not the magic bullet, right, that's going to cure the decline in hunting numbers. But it could be – it's a good step in the right direction to get it started.
Yeah, at the recent AFWA meeting, Matt Dunphy and Rob Southwick presented on a study they've been doing on mentoring and how you apply that to outdoors. And one of the things that they brought up was that what we really need to do is broker opportunities for new hunters. And that's exactly what we're doing here. Brittany's team is basically acting as a broker, going and finding a place to hunt, going and reaching out to the kids that are going to hunt, and then reaching out to the NGOs, the ducks, the pheasants, the turkeys, and finding the volunteers to make all that happen. And because we're just brokering them, we can broker a lot of them. You know, I think last year we proved that our model works. And this year what we want to do is prove that we can scale it. Yeah. And so I told Brittany she has to do 200 hunts this year.
Sometimes that number gets bigger. Right. Sometimes I'll casually hear, we need to do 600. I'm like,
Man, how much more year do I got left?
Like, I feel this like little tenseness in my neck. Like, is that a heart attack or a stroke?
Just got some more time in the woods. Well, and one thing that I think is cool about Pass It On Outdoor Mentors is you guys don't just work with Pheasants Forever or Ducks Unlimited or NWTF or you know, Whitetails Unlimited. Is Whitetails Unlimited still around?
Yeah. Okay. They are. Yeah.
I can't remember. There's so many of them that
I know it.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But you work with all those groups. You work with everybody.
Yep.
And not to detract anything from what those guys are doing, but, you know, a lot of times the PF chapter in their local area, they're reaching their local people and giving opportunities to them. Now, you think about it, like I'm a member of the Johnson County Pheasants Forever chapter in near Kansas City, and they do a women's and youth hunt every year. And I talked about the St. James Academy shooting team, and, you know, most of the times if you went to that team, that group, and said, hey, do you have five more spots? Like, put somebody in there. They're like, we can throw five more people in there. No, not a big deal. But if no one ever approaches them or no one ever says, hey, here's five more kids,
just not on their radar.
No, it's not on the radar. So you guys act as that, you know, you present the need, you present the opportunity, you know, and most of the time these people will jump at that.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely is someone going to go, I don't want to help kids get in the outdoors.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, so. Well, and again, because we work with all of them, what we're able to do is we'll take those kids that went on a youth hunt with the Johnson County chapter, and now we got them in our database, and we can say, hey, here's a waterfowl hunt. Hey, here's a deer hunt opportunity. Here's a dove hunt opportunity. You want to go turkey hunting?
Yep.
So if we just relied on the individual critter groups to do it, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, the pheasant guys are going to take them on a pheasant hunt, but the pheasant chapter isn't going to holler over to the duck chapter and say, hey, these are kids that need to go duck hunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just don't have that coordination among the different groups. And I think an organization, a third-party organization like ourselves, we can fill that role. We can be that broker that works with the state agencies, that works with the NGOs, that works with the landowners, and puts together those opportunities to make everything happen for those kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And bigger picture, too, I just think it helps tremendously when we can create some type of, like, bond with these kids in these different chapters. Everyone's going to find their own passion in the outdoor world, mm-hmm. whether it's ducks or turkeys or deer, whatever. But if these kids are now turning 18 and going to college, and they end up at K-State, and they, well, what do I do now? You know, yeah. I'm from Western Kansas. I'm in Manhattan now. I don't have any land mm-hmm. access. I don't know anybody who hunts, but there's a DU group here, and I like that. So I'm just going to go join their group. Mm-hmm. I'm going to join their chapter. I'm going to connect with them to see if they will further mentor me or just kind of establish more connection. Better yet, a lot of our high school kids help work the banquets of some of these chapters, which is helpful, I think, on all ends.
Yeah. Well, and especially a lot of these chapters are donating money to the high school teams, you know, to cover ammo costs, target costs. And, you know, it's surprising when if you don't shoot a lot of targets, you go look at how much it costs.
It's expensive.
Yeah, shoot a couple hundred rounds a week. You know, when you got those kids, you know, just like any sport, they're training all the time, and it gets really expensive. So luckily, these groups are doing fundraising. You know, they're not just putting it back on the ground for the animals. Mm-hmm. They're helping these kids get involved and spend some quality time in the outdoors.
Absolutely.
So, where can people find you guys?
All over the social media.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's Passed On Outdoor Mentors,
Yep.
Right?
So, our website is outdoormentors.com.
Org.
.org. outdoormentors.org. And then just Outdoor Mentors on Instagram, Facebook.
Okay.
Yep.
That's simple enough.
Yeah.
And then, so how can they help? You know, if someone listens to this and they're like, man, I want to get involved. Maybe they hear from God. And so I have to do this. How can they do that? What's the best way for them to get plugged in?
Yeah.
What are your needs?
They can send us an email. I mean, it's just as easy as asking, how do I get involved? I mean, we're not too harmful of folks.
Yeah.
So we welcome any conversation. Right. We like to meet mentors where they're at. I've got many folks reach out to me and say, I can help on this one day this year. Mm-hmm. And I say, deal. You know, that's just, that's what it is. We have more people who say, I can get involved as much as this much. And we'll walk that avenue with them.
Yep. Now, we have formal programs now in Kansas and Iowa, and hopefully we'll be expanding to other states soon. but for folks who want to become a mentor, just give us a call. We'll put you in touch with the local Big Brothers Big Sisters organization, or we'll help you find a youth mentoring organization in that community where you can get matched with a kid and give them the blessing of taking them outdoors. Mm-hmm. You know, the years I've spent taking these kids from Big Brothers Big Sisters have been really, really rewarding. These are kids that won't have these opportunities otherwise. And it's a really neat thing to do.
Yeah. Well, like we talked about, it's fulfilling for the mentor, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and like I kind of want to echo what Brittany says, you know, if someone sends an email and says, hey, I can help out these 2 weekends, that's all I have for this year, you'll take them.
Absolutely.
Don't feel like, you know, you're committing your whole hunting season to help. And if you can help 1 or 2 days, they'd be happy to use you.
Especially if it's the 10th and 11th of October.
You know, 10th and 11th of October.
We're taking mentor requests.
Gotcha. That's good. Specific days. We can do that. This should launch just before that. So
good.
Falls,
shameless plug.
Right.
Well, and another talk about shameless plugs. We're a nonprofit, so we do fundraisers all the time.
Yeah.
So if people don't feel like they can give their time physically or just time in general, you know, we accept donations through our website.
You will take money.
We will take money.
That's good.
With open arms, with a big hug at the end of it. via social distancing, of course. But yeah, that's how we keep our doors open. That's how we keep getting kids out. So I know sometimes people have different ways of giving, and sometimes that's a monetary gift, and sometimes that's time in the field. So,
well, and that's another point. You guys do have to make money. This stuff is not free. You know, luckily through donations and volunteerism, you guys get some of it covered. But you know, sometimes this stuff costs money. So that's another good point to make. If you can't donate time or be a mentor, money helps quite a bit.
Our number one need is the dollars to pay for staff to put on to be the brokers. You know, that's what we need right now is more dollars so that we can put more brokers on the field, on the ground, getting more kids in the field. I'm convinced that we can scale this thing up big. I think if I had three full-time people in Kansas, we would be doing 500 to 600 hunts a year.
There's the number.
I've heard it. We have recorded it. So you can not crazy. You heard it.
But I think we can scale it that big. And I think it's just a matter of putting the manpower on the ground. We have the model down. And what we've seen going from last year to this year, last year was our first year. I mean, we went into this last year with no idea what to expect. You know, last year there were 74 high schools that had teams. I said, okay, I told Brittany, I want you to reach a third of them. Get 25 of those schools out hunting. She did 44.
Yep.
Okay. So I think we can really grow this thing to really reach a lot of people. And what's happening now is, you know, I got an email from a mother the other day. Her kids aren't on a trap team at all. She said, but I got a son and two daughters and they want to hunt. The husband doesn't hunt. Can you help out? I said, absolutely. You know, they got to have hunter ed. I'm not going to take kids out that they haven't had hunter ed. But we can expand this thing much, much bigger. You know, right now, and we've talked about this, Brittany and I have, right now we're looking at the trap shooting cohort of kids. I think we can expand this to the National Archery in the Schools program, the Scholastic 3D Archery program. I think we could partner up and put together a program so that kids who go through hunter ed, kids or adults, either one, people who go through hunter ed for the first time, how great would it be if we could put them into a program like this where we could give them those multiple opportunities?
No, that's absolutely right. And, you know, I've seen, you know, in my industry, I work a lot with youth teams and groups like yours. I've seen youth shooting exploding, you know, no pun intended, in the last 8 to 10 years, you know. It used to be you knew people that shot, you know, in high school, but some competed and things. But now it's regular kids, you know, all the time are shooting. You know, the cool thing that I get is I get calls from parents there, and I kind of call them the sports parents. So we created this in our society where, you know, kids play hockey, football, baseball, soccer. And so this parent comes to me, you know, and they're used to the hockey, football, baseball, soccer. And they basically come and say, hey, okay, what do I need? What shells do I need to buy? What vests do I need to buy? What shotgun do I need to buy? They come with the same mentality they do the other sports, which is good because they realize there's a little bit of buy-in. What do I need to know? And so it's kind of cool because you're not getting the kid that his dad shoots a ton. That's why he's shooting. You know, it's, hey, my buddy's shooting. That looks like fun.
Yep.
And so as you've seen that expand, you know, it gets, you know, there's so much negative stuff about guns right now. I think if you can get more kids to have positive experiences with firearms at a young age, it helps everything. Helps increase hunter numbers, helps increase positive voting for the things that we care about. And, you know, the kid may not be a, you know, trap star Olympian or whatever, but if they can have some fun, have some camaraderie, and then get out with you guys and go hunting, that's a win.
Right.
It's a big win.
It's a win.
Especially if they pass it on to their kids.
Absolutely. That's this thing. And, you know, it's so interesting because you don't know how many kids are out there, or I'm sure you guys do, that want to hunt. Or maybe they don't even know they want to hunt.
Yeah.
They just don't have the opportunity. There's just no option. And so you guys are providing that. You're providing that avenue. And, you know, one thing, because like I said, you and I first talked about this a couple years ago, Mike. And I remember when you kind of pitched me this idea. And someone a long time told me, you know, if someone comes to you with a new idea that's, you know, pie in the sky, crazy awesome, one or two things are going to happen. Someone else has tried it in the past and it failed and it's going to fail again. Or it's no one's tried it because it's awesome, you know, and it's going to work right now. I, you know, there's a lot of good ideas or people, man, this is awesome. It's like, well, it's not going to work, but this is working. Yep. This program is working. It's growing. You're having an effect. There's some subtle changes between what you guys are doing and what other people are doing. And I think that's part of the success, you know.
Yeah.
And I've seen people rally around you. You know, John Francis has come out, done some mm-hmm. coaching clinics for you guys. Local chapters in the city of Kansas have supported you in all manner of things. So I like seeing this go crazy. And I'm really excited that it's going well. You know, that the new idea mm-hmm. did not fail, you know.
Yeah.
And that it's going well. So.
Yeah. It's fun to look back on presentations I did a year ago. And I'm like, wow, things have changed. Like,
yeah, right.
We're going to do this. And now it's like, here's what we've done. Here's what we're doing moving right. forward. Yep. And here's what we're doing from there. And it's fun. It's good momentum.
It's going to be challenging going forward because and we're learning this in Iowa. I mean, Iowa's pretty close to Kansas. But hunting is a lot different in Iowa than it is in Kansas.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so as we take this program from state to state, it's going to take a lot of tailoring to adapt what we're doing to those states. But again, I think we can address multiple cohorts. I think this model can be adapted to work pretty much anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really good to hear. Thank you so much for letting me sit down.
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
You know, thank you,
so much
Daniel.
Spending some time and talking about it. It's my pleasure, you know, and I love what you guys are doing. So those that are listening, please go to Pass It On or OutdoorMentors.org.
Yep.
OutdoorMentors.org. Okay. And look for Pass It On Mentors on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. And get involved. And if you can't get involved, send some money and help these people out. Have some fun.
Daniel, anything, thanks.
Yeah.
No, it's my pleasure.
Thanks
anything
so
else
much.
You guys want to say? Or?
I tell you, we just appreciate you coming and helping us yeah. get the word out about the program.
Happy I can do it. Happy to do it.
So, absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That was a really great episode, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I did sitting down with Mike and Brittany. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends. Also, please go support Passed On Outdoor Mentors. You can find all their information at OutdoorMentors.org. Again, OutdoorMentors.org. And like Brittany mentioned in this podcast, October 11th and 12th, they're hosting over 71 kids hunting. So if you're in Kansas or in the Midwest and you'd like to help out, they could definitely use you. So go to OutdoorMentors.org and fill out the contact form and get in touch with them. Also, if you can't make it that weekend, that's fine. There's a ton of other opportunities to help out Outdoor Mentors and groups like that in your area. If you enjoyed this episode, it would really help me out if you share it with your friends and family. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please go and review it. When you do that, it helps this podcast come up in more searches and reach more people. Please go and like us on Facebook, Instagram, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it so you don't miss an episode. Our Facebook is Hunt Fish Eat Outdoors, and our Instagram is Hunt Fish Eat. Thank you for listening, and catch you on the next episode.